So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun, apart from Simon, but we'll get on to that later. Look to the future now, it's only just begun. You know what, guys, I sang that so well and so accurately, I think we might get done for copyright. Hello everyone, welcome back to the Grumpy Gets at Christmas. I am your glorious host Adam Pearson, and we are here with a bit of festive cheer, hence I'm dressed like a child, to take you through a Christmas cacophony of disability, whataboutery, and hilarity. And as always, I am not alone, oh no. As always again, up first is my very good friend, dressed like a Christmas pudding, Simon Sampson. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you, Adam. How are yourself?
It's been a good week, because I love this build-up to Christmas.
Yeah, I have to explain my outfit, because it looks like a cock and penis going down here. I promise you it's not. So I can't stand up very well, so I'm just going to stand up. And look, it is a Christmas belt and stuff, so it's a Santa outfit. But, you know, it looks really odd, just the top bit. So I thought I'd explain that.
You have not framed yourself well for this one. For this one, good sir.
Ho, ho, fucking ho.
So we've already got a copyright strike and a mature content strike on the one episode. And also, joining us from the coast, I believe, Mr. Duncan Casbin in his rather fetching Santa hat. How are you, my friend?
I am very well. I would like to make a request for future. We know you've been on lots of celebrity type shows. I would suggest Celebrity X Factor not be on your future potential starring roles.
That, good friend, is slander, and I won't stand for it.
Can you hear the dogs in the background here?
Yeah. You have my word that that will never happen. That will set disability back like at least a week and a half. So we'll leave that one. Yeah, it wouldn't be a good look for any of us. It's like an advert for the mute button. And finally, he always has been and will always be the greatest editor in the world. Chris Lee Smith, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good, mate. For once, it's going good. I'm pretty much all set for Christmas. How about yourself?
You're on top of everything.
Pretty much, yeah. I don't think there's much else. I can't believe he's changed his top.
Has he changed his top?
Talk turkey to me. What is the matter with him?
Do I have a surprise for you lot tonight?
Are you going to go and just change your jumper between like every segment? Is that what we're supposed to let ourselves in for?
No, he's got a giant turkey on.
Oh, there we go. Is this your subtle attempt to crack the turkey market? The country, not the bird.
I'm going to test Chris's editing skills this week. Not. I've got so many different Christmas tops coming your way this evening.
It isn't me editing, it's Duncan.
I had to point this out the last couple episodes.
No, look, I've even got my little reindeer hat as well, you know. Couldn't find a bobble hat, you know, Santa hat, so.
I'm bizarrely excited to see what Christmas jumpers you've gone out and got yourself. Because we started with, you know, cock and balls. Now we've moved on to talk turkey to me. Is it all uphill or downhill from here, Simon?
I think it's uphill, but we'll find out.
Yeah. Put in the comments what your favourite Simon jumper was. and we'll let you all know in the January episode what one won.
I would like to point out, this one's really hot, so I'm going to have to change very quickly in a minute.
Is that because it's roast turkey?
It's a roast turkey.
Oh, God.
Oh,
no.
I'm here on Crash.
Every derisive comment it got.
Totally worth it. Totally, Chris. Ridiculous questions before Duncan breaks out any more puns.
Okay, first one is, what was your most memorable Xmas present? Let's start with who's looking the most confident? We've got to go for the most confident because they've already got an answer. Let's go with Simon.
Me?
Yes.
I got a plastic horse head.
Awesome.
Any mafia, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen them. It's kind of a mask that goes over your head. And you're supposed to wait. You know, it's a horse one. It's a horse mask. That I also got a tit, a stress ball as a titty.
Yeah. What are your most memorable ones?
Well, you know, if you get nice stuff every year, you kind of forget about it, don't you? But you never think you're going to forget a horse's head and a breast, are you, for a squeegee? You know, it's, you know. If I got you a tin of soup, you'd know that you got a tin of soup for Christmas for the next 50 years. You know, it's the most memorable one, isn't it?
He has got a point. I think the wording was wrong as well, but he actually answered it correctly because they are pretty memorable, those gifts. Let's go for Duncan next.
Mine's a he's gone again. I shouldn't even think what he's going to come back with.
It's going to be a Christmas bra.
Yeah. Except for the tit.
Christmas bikini, ready for Spain, sitting on his balcony.
Oh, no. I've got a couple that remember. We used to have a tradition that we, because my friends back in Australia were all like mad family people. They like just kept breeding and breeding.
Oh, my captain.
That's nothing to do with Christmas.
Sorry, wrong show.
Yeah.
I start to think these are swingers outfits. They're ridiculous.
We'll put the link to Simon's OnlyFans in the description. there was a couple. We had this tradition, and it was because we didn't want to spend loads of money on each other because everyone was spending money on all these kids. We had this sort of, you couldn't spend more than £5. It was crappy Christmas, and you had to get the crappiest present you could find for other people. And the rule was you had to use whatever you got. So, you know, you went through like leopard skin steering wheel covers and all that kind of crap. But the funniest one I got with, there was two. One was, it was a Ladybird style book. You know, the old Ladybird books?
Yep.
And this was called What Shat That? It was literally page after page of different animals' feces. So, you
know, what?
A whole new level of bird watching kind of thing. But the funniest one is the one year that, we'd all, because you don't know what everyone's getting, it's the surprises on the day kind of thing. And there were three of us who all got the identical David Hasselhoff Christmas album for each other. We all managed to buy it in a circle. It was, yeah, strange, but
that's I guess it's Christmas themed, isn't it? I have a machine gun, ho ho ho.
Is that like the Weird Al Yankovic Christmas song?
Oh, it's Die Hard. Come on, Die Hard.
Of course.
Oh, I mean, amateurs.
I mean, it's the only thing Christmassy about Die Hard is that it's shown at Christmas. There's nothing else.
So is there any other Christmas film? What more do you want?
Well, Scrooge is to do with Christmas, isn't it? Elf is to do with Christmas.
Yeah.
Right, let's move on, because we're never going to finish. Right, Adam, what was your most memorable Christmas present?
So I was on the church welcome team for our carol service, and we normally get, what, about 1,000 people rock up to this carol service in London, and the welcome team did Secret Santa, and the rules were it had to be clothing, and you had to wear it on the thing, and you look around at who your welcome team is, you're like, oh my god, I hope they don't get my name. If they get my name, I'm such gateways to Sundays. And one of those guys got my name and got me these two fake tattoo sleeves.
Did you put them on?
That I had to put on. And so I'm there in sort of like this welcome polo shirt with these like Hell's Angel style like tattoo sleeves on. And these are people I've known for years. Kind of going, oh, happy Christmas, Adam. I didn't know you had tattoos.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. What was your worst Christmas and why? Let's start with Adam this time.
I mean, the last one wasn't great, was it?
The last Christmas.
The last one. Because normally we get some of my mum's side of the family over. And then that means I can pretend to at least half the people around the dinner table that I'm not some kind of mess of a man. But I couldn't do that last year. Just had to share a house with the same people. So it was the year we let Dad do a lot of the Christmas shopping. We let him do his own shopping for Mum. And he to say he flopped it is an understatement. And I think he got like Boys Own Live on VHS. Chocolat, the Johnny Depp film. I think he bought a Tina Turner calendar. I think everything was like a swing and a miss. But not just a little bit of a miss, like a massive, massive miss.
I was expecting to hear about a date gone wrong, to be honest. If I'm being honest, I was expecting a Christmas date gone wrong where you cried in McDonald's or something.
Oh, yeah, another Nando's visit. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I did buy a girlfriend. I'm such an asshole. I bought a PS3 box and I filled it with socks. And I wrapped it up.
There was no PS3 at all?
No, it was socks.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's awful.
That's evil.
That's proper evil. Like, it would be fair if you like kind of pranked her, ha-ha, here's the PS3, actually, an hour later or something. That's still evil. But to fill it with socks and go, there's no PS3 at all.
I mean, there was an element of that to the plan. Granted, I had a much longer lead time than like the hour. I was going to play this up until New Year's, and then give it to him and be like, "Happy New Year!" It was all a joke. But no, we didn't make it till New Year.
No, I didn't expect to either. She probably said, "Get the fuck out of my house."
Yeah. So you went, fine, I'll take my PS3.
I wasn't in the house. I had this, like, Hermes. I thought, like, I'm going to do that joke in person.
Yeah, let's move on to Duncan. What was your worst Christmas and why?
I can't really think. I had a bunch of miserable Christmases due to family, you know, issues and stuff like that. But I don't know. I went through a period where Christmas really wasn't my... Christmas really isn't my thing now, but I do enjoy it now I've got the kids and I can actually enjoy it vicariously through my children. But I'm not the festive ho-ho-ho type.
Hence why you haven't got a Christmas jumper on.
Yeah, that's right. I did. Somebody once got me a CD that was death metal Christmas carols.
Yes, I guess we can take that. We can take that. Let's move on to Simon. What was your worst Christmas and why?
Well, I mean, first of all, I had a fantastic Christmas last year. I was at number 10. So, you know, I really had a good time. Oh. I was partying with Matt Hancock. You know, Boris was a bit, you know, as he always was, pissed out of his face. He always looks drunk. It was only like a few months later that I actually got caught. So, you know, this
is... As if people need any more reason to hate you, Simon, even when you joke about it.
I want to know, if your last names are supposed to be your career, what Matt Hancock's family were doing?
Raising male chickens, I think.
I mean, overall, I mean, last Christmas, well, I mean, we moved into our new house, and obviously you guys have been here, and it's a really nice big family house where we wanted to have everyone over for the first time. And I've got 10 nephews and nieces, 3 sisters, mum, dad, aunties and uncles, and so on and so forth. And we were all going to be in Christmas together for the first time. Well, we couldn't. And that was a big disappointment. And it looks like we can't do it this year either. So, you know, it is a bit disappointing that we haven't actually had the Christmas we wanted to have in our nice new big adapted house. But
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for it to happen and someone's going to get locked in your panic room and that'll be that.
We don't have a panic room.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. It's getting a bit miserable. So we'll move on. Question 3. I know. We kind of went up.
What did you expect me? What was your worst Christmas? Oh, my father died, you know.
I was just expecting something, I don't know, funny. But we've gone up, we've come down. But in your opinion, what is the most overrated Christmas movie and why? Let's start with Duncan.
Straight away, I've got to say, Home Alone. I'm sorry. It's the... It's a story about child neglect.
It is. I will agree with you there. So's Matilda. But yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and it's all fussied up because he's a cute kid and it's Christmas time. I'm sorry. Parents should be jailed.
If he comes back as Macaulay Culkin, I'm shutting this podcast down.
I'll slap his cheeks.
He's just realized he's got a Home Alone outfit in. Or a Marv. I quite like Home Alone, I think. It's just, I don't know. It's just slapstick comedy. Slapstick comedy.
But there's slapstick in this. There's some great holidays are coming. So is Santa. He only comes once a year. Poor bugger. No, for me, it's slapstick. I like slapstick. But I can't get behind the whole
Home Alone Christmas films of all time.
What is sorry?
Home Alone is one of the funniest Christmas films of all time.
Yeah, I've got to agree with. Let's move on before we start arguments. Let's go with Adam this time.
Die Hard. No, I'm joking.
Don't you dare!
I was just trying to trigger Simon.
Bruce Willis himself has said it's not a Christmas film.
I know.
Director has.
Oh, but it happens in December. So does Pearl Harbor. Grow up.
That's a great Christmas movie, to be fair. Christmas Day.
Oh, this is going to get me so much hate online. A Nightmare Before Christmas is just so
great. No, that isn't going to get you hate. And if it does, I hold the same opinion. Absolutely overrated.
It's kind of... is this a Halloween song? Is this a Christmas film? What's going on?
They got greedy, didn't they?
I don't find any of the characters particularly likable in any way, shape, or form. I'm rooting for Oogie Boogie at about halfway through. And then for the last, the last quarter, I'm just rooting for my ever-approaching death. I'm like, just get to the end and let me move on with my life, which shows that, A, I don't know how DVDs work, obviously. I can just stop it at any point. I don't know why I'm doing this to tell myself. I could have watched the Polar Express. I could have watched Jingle All the Way. I could have watched Paint Dry. Like, any of those things would have been a step up from A Nightmare Before Christmas. And it's just Tim Burton being Tim Burton and being like, yeah, look how weird I can make the things you love.
I say that's a really, really good answer. Let's move on to Simon.
I will answer that in a second after I've introduced my Coca-Cola truck, which is completely ironic because it brings diabetes into your town. But that's beside the point. The worst Christmas film ever made for me, I have to go with every single Channel 5 Hallmark Christmas film there is.
I don't think I've seen a single Hallmark Channel 5 movie Christmas.
My wife watches them every day over Christmas. She's watched about 20. And it's the same fucking story.
About Christmas.
Girl moves into town. Girl saves town. Girl moves in, falls in love. They live happily ever after.
You could say that about Netflix, though.
It's such bad acting. They are such bad films. Oh, my God. They're terrible. And they're shown every year.
Absolutely agree. And that's the end of silly questions this week.
Let's move on to do some serious, serious talkage. Simon, I hear you've had
he's gone.
Quite. Oh, God.
Hold on, I'm getting changed.
I don't know why.
I'm trying to talk to you about your shit week. Like, stop doing this. Oh, there we go.
In honor of Tim Burton.
There we go. Oh, Christ. I knew that this would be funny for like the first 20 minutes, and then it would just get ridiculous. It's like a five-year-old trying to tell you a story. For the first few minutes, it's adorable. And then you just want it to end.
Fine. Okay, I'll tell you what then. I'll leave Christmas Mickey out.
Why have you got a pile?
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm surrounded by idiots.
That's not Christmas.
Christmas?
That's just offensive.
Gummy bears is always Christmassy.
Since when?
Have you not seen Gummy Bear's Christmas Special? It's amazing.
It is Christmas Special.
I'm sorry, you just trashed Channel 5 Hallmark films for being crap and overly sentimental. But the Gummy Bear's Christmas Special ranks as brilliant.
I kind of want to see it now.
I'm with Simon on this one. It's great. Oh my God, have you seen the Home Alone remake? It's awful.
It was
Home Sweet Home Alone is awful. Like I'm actively rooting for the burglars to find him, pin him down, and kill him.
I gotta say, I was kind of hoping for the first Home Alone for that to happen. It was getting quite annoying the way they were getting hurt all the time, and I was thinking, go on, catch him, right. Catch him.
Well, before we lose any more viewers, because we have been dicking around for the past 20 minutes.
We?
We've all been going off camera to change shirts.
Shall we actually get to some serious subjects?
So, Simon, dare I ask, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been shit, mate. There's no other way to put it. It's going to be in the national newspaper in the next day or so. as most people are probably aware, that I have created a TV show called Sunhill, which is in the early stages of the development. And my very good friend, Graham Cole, who played PC Tony Stamp for 35 years, is coming back for the show. We went to see him in Panto in Norwich. He's playing there. He's in Dick Whiston and the Cat. The best thing about that show is the cat. However, when we went back to the car park, actually, it's quite good fun, actually. I did like the Panto. Very funny. Graham Cole jumps up around. You know, there's a 70-year-old bouncing on stage. It's quite weird. You think he's going to have a heart attack, bless him. Yeah, so we stayed in a Travelodge in the city centre, and at that Travelodge, attached to the Travelodge, is an NCP car park. And you go in there, and it's quite a steep slope going up, okay, to drive up to the first floor. And there's four disabled bays. Perfect, okay? And then we thought, right, how did you get out? We couldn't figure out. So we got to the lift, and we went down to the ground floor. And the ground floor, there isn't a ground floor. It's an Iceland. Okay, so we thought, this can't be right. So we went back into the lift, went up to the first floor, and went, where's the way out? Because when we came out there was like five steps going down. They were quite steep steps because it's an old building. And we're like, how'd you get out? And we got to go through Iceland. Fine. Now, we didn't think that was too odd. Okay, we thought we'd just come out the wrong exit. So we thought we'd go out, come round, and check in. Then, obviously, we went to the theatre, and we came back, and we wanted to go down the pub. So we thought we'd go and pick the car up. And go down the pub, get a few drinks. The problem is with that is Iceland was closed. And the only way in to get the car was through Iceland if you're in a wheelchair or disabled access. Now, this particular Iceland closed at 8 o'clock. The show didn't finish till 9:45. So we missed the cutoff for Iceland for about an hour and 45 minutes. But I've never known a situation where you had to organize your time on when a supermarket is going to be open or not. It's the most bizarre situation I've ever come across being disabled. Because even if there was a fire, you know, on the first floor and you're trapped up there, you can't get out. You're not allowed to take the lift. So how do you get out? You can't go down the ramp. It's too steep. You fall out your scooter or your wheelchair.
So what, sorry that happened to you, but the obvious question to ask is what happens now? And how do we stop that happening again?
For me, this car park shouldn't be allowed to have disabled customers. It's not accessible. If you've got to close at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon because of operating hours through a shop, you know, and you're there for the whole of the weekend, there's no, you know, if I was driving home that night, I wouldn't have been able to. There should be a big sign out saying, sorry, we cannot have disabled customers here. The building's too old. That's what it needs to say. And I can accept that, but there are many places I can't get in because they're too old or they're listed or whatever. And that's fine. That's not a problem. I'll go and find another car parking space, but tell me beforehand.
And was that all? Or did your week get
Well, this is just the end of the week, not the beginning of the week. So me and my wife, Kate, we wanted to go and see Jersey Boys in Birmingham. You go online, there were hundreds of tickets available. Okay. And if you, Duncan or Chris, want to go and see Jersey Boys with your family, all you have to do is go online, book a ticket. Okay. However, if you're in a wheelchair, you need to go through the accessibility line. Well, an hour and 5 minutes later, I still hadn't got through. My wife just said, "My God, give up. What are you doing?" And I actually started tweeting the conversation on Twitter. I was saying, I'm actually fascinated how long it will actually take me to actually, because I'm in a wheelchair, to actually book a ticket for Jersey Boys, which starts in 2.5 hours, where if I was fully abled, I would be able to go and do it online. So I, being a journalist, I actually went through to the press office. 3 minutes later, they called me back saying, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry about this. What tickets do you want for this evening?" And we got our tickets immediately after going through to the press office, who then went to knock on the accessibility office and saying, "Why aren't you picking up your phone?" And then the third thing, which I'm talking about this week, is I like a good moan, as you can tell. So me and my wife, Kate, we're looking at electric cars. Okay. And I'm actually going to write an article on this week, because I didn't actually notice it until this week, until I actually started looking for electric vehicles. And my God, do I want a Tesla so badly.
Just replace the Rolls.
However, what we noticed is there aren't any disabled charging bays. So if I'm pulling up to charge an electric car, which I would like to purchase in the new year, and I say I'm driving from here to London or to Bournemouth, where the studios are, for example, if I need to get out my car, it's going to be really difficult for me, because there are no disabled charging bays. They haven't thought about it. We went to Junction 28, which is MacArthur Glen, and you must have 30 Tesla bays there. Not one of them is disabled friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awful.
They haven't actually thought about it. They've actually completely ignored the disabled community. And considering that the Motability Scheme is now, want to give you an electric car as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be really difficult to do this, because they're just not there.
I wonder how it works, though, with the electric bays. Because with supermarkets, the car parks in supermarkets aren't actually owned by the supermarkets, are they? So I'm wondering, is it those companies that aren't thinking about it? Because I'm sure it's not like the Tesco, Sainsbury's, Morrison's. I'm sure it's the people that actually own the car parks.
That I do not know, I'm afraid.
Mm.
What I do know at the moment is, if you've got an electric vehicle and you're disabled and you're in a wheelchair and you want to go and charge your car, you're going to have great deal difficulty doing it.
Pretty uninitiated, who may not know about electric cars, charging points, yada, yada, yada. What makes the current charging bays inaccessible, and what would an accessible one look like, and how? I'm assuming it's not that hard to do.
No, not at all. I mean, for example, for me to get out my car, I need a wider space, because my scooter or my wheelchair needs to come down to the side of the car, and you clearly can't do that if you've got two cars close to each other, like a normal car parking space. Okay, then you also have to make sure that you can reach the cable, and you're not too parked too close, and you can plug it in as well, so you can reach that. That's pretty much easy to do if you're in a scooter or a wheelchair. It's a bit more difficult to do if you are in a wheelchair, because you've got to push yourself with both hands and then try and plug the charger in. But it is doable. It's just a bit tricky. But, you know, having that extra space makes a huge difference. You know, how do you get in and out of the car if someone's parked right next to you? It's almost impossible. This is why we have blue badges for people in wheelchairs and mobility scooters, or people with disabilities, so that they have the extra space to get out, because it is essential for me to get out. That's why I park in disabled bays all the time.
I think it just shows the endemic attitude that's there, to be honest. That there's just a general acknowledgement and understanding that the world's ableist, and it sucks, because it's always just almost like the last consideration. Oh, shit, we hadn't thought of that, you know. It's always an afterthought. That's the big problem I find with this kind of stuff.
And I know the world is made for able people, and always has been, probably always will be. But this week, with the tickets, with the car park in Norwich, and looking for an electric vehicle, just goes to show you that disabled people do come last on every single list. and it's absolutely disgusting. And this is just a simple, normal week for me, going to work, doing meetings, going out and about, looking for a new vehicle. You know, there's nothing extraordinary about this week, except for things got in my way that shouldn't be in my way.
And it's getting to that kind of, you know, end of the year, we're all going to look back on a year, ponder, think about self-improvement. And I decided that one of my New Year's resolutions is I'm going to stop thanking or congratulating companies for doing the bare minimum. And that accessibility for disabled people isn't a luxury. It's a legal right. So I'm not going to congratulate you for doing it. But if you don't do it, goddamn right you'll be hearing from me.
I think the lesson to learn here is just don't go to the theatre. It seems to be you and theatres.
Moving on, Duncan, what do you have for us?
Reflection again, we sort of bring into this ableism side of things, but obviously my daughter and being autistic, the sensory overload that is just present at Christmas, and I don't want to begrudge anybody festivities and you know all that kind of stuff, but it really affects a lot of autistic people. You know, you go in, oh, we went into Sainsbury's the other day just to pick up a few bits, but they had the music playing so loudly, you know, all the Christmas songs, and there's the lights everywhere, and there's just so much hustle and bustle. And not so long ago, there was this sort of trend almost started that people were going to be doing autism hours and stuff like that. We're not seeing that anymore. That's all seemed sort of quiet and back down. It's sort of like it was this little thing for a while, and we've done our bit there and we can move on. But it really, you know, there's so many people affected by this stuff, and it would be nice if there was some consideration on the lines of what Simon's saying, like stop putting people with disability last and actually think about how can we make some people's lives better and more bearable at this time of year and make Christmas as fun and joyous for them as well as it is for everybody else.
Well, I think most supermarkets have done their tick boxing thing where, you know, they've done the autism thing where you come at 10 o'clock in the morning, you shop around for an hour before we let the general public in. And we've done that, but we don't need to do it again.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it was sort of, that was the trend for a little while, you know.
Yeah.
Which just shows that the goodwill behind it really isn't there. It's purely a tick boxing exercise.
It's PR, isn't it? It's look what we've done. We're good. So come and shop with us. We care about it, and it's quite sickening. But the only people that see through it are kind of the disabled community, the same community. And you know, it's not going to last. It's just marketing department have turned around and said, "Good idea. Let's do this for a little while."
Trending.
Yeah, this is good. The people are talking about this. This will get us business. We'll make our sales back in this. So let's do it for a little while. Then people will forget about it. Well, the relevant people, and we'll go back to what we did before. It's kind of sickening, to be fair. It really is.
Makes me mad. Just the amount of people I know who are affected by it. Like obviously with the work I do and stuff like that, and just seeing, you know, how many people really do struggle with this time of year. When it doesn't need to be, and if this is goodwill to all men and women, but you know, if it's goodwill to all, then it's goodwill to all.
Yep.
Why is it goodwill to all who aren't inconvenient?
Oh, how would things like power services, power concerts, and things like I don't know, off the top of my head, Winter Wonderland, how can they be made accessible for people like your daughter, Duncan?
This is the thing, and again, it's almost like cancel culture, and I'm not for that at all. And I don't want to see things stop because they might be inconvenient for somebody else. So that's not what I'm getting at. You know, and if my daughter doesn't like carol concerts or she doesn't like Winter Wonderland, we went to Winter Wonderland in Exeter today, and it's a great day, and she managed us. You know, I've got a neurotypical son as well, so we have to balance it to make sure that he's getting, and we know how to make sure she's not getting overloaded and get her, you know, take her for a break when she needs it and that kind of stuff. But it's more just, you know, we know these things are there. We know that light, noise, crowds and all that kind of thing are going to be an issue for people who are neurodivergent or you know, a percentage of people who are neurodivergent. And for those people, how do we make life better for them? And the autism hours were a good thing. And I actually like the fact that they had that kind of, we open up at 8. So from 8 till 9, we're going to have the quiet time. And we knew that was happening. And it just stopped. It stopped with lockdown. And no one's really sort of recuperated or brought it back up afterwards. But just having that time where it wasn't so in your face all the time, and you could go and do a shop, and she didn't get that kind of overload. And at Christmas, that's even, you know, more important, because it is, you know, and I dread Christmas from this perspective every year, because I know what it does to my daughter's anxiety. Mm. And, you know, I want her to love Christmas as much as everybody else does. And it isn't. It's a challenge for her. And, it was apparent at Winter Wonderland today. She wasn't really into it, and she was struggling with the anxiety it was creating. Now, we know, okay, that's a choice we made to take her there, and we can take her out of that, and that's what we did. But for everyday things, like, we shouldn't have to be relegated to shopping online to avoid having to stress out when we're looking for Christmas food and stuff like that. Mm. We shouldn't have to be relegated to shopping online for Christmas presents because she can't really go into a shop and pick what she wants because it's too much for her. If there was time allotted, and it was a simple thing, and it worked for the period they were doing it, why have we let this go? Why aren't we bringing this kind of stuff back in to make it more, you know, accessible? And maybe thinking about the times that, you know, not everybody can get to Sainsbury's at 8 in the morning, you know, especially if you're, you know, fortunate enough to have a job and you've got to go to that. Well, then maybe 8 o'clock in the morning isn't the best time to get to Sainsbury's. So how can we work it around that? Why do we have to have the loudness all the time? Why does that? Why can't we just make it that, you know, it's just a bit quieter?
Information is for preparation as well is a huge thing. Is that sometimes you take these days out, and we went to Drayton Manor, and we took my son's ear defenders. So it wasn't too bad. We were kind of prepared, but it would have been nice to have a heads up that there is going to be very, very loud flashing lights, all of these things. And we weren't told. It was lucky that we were prepared enough. But if we hadn't been, that could have been a completely different, the complete opposite of the time we had. And all these places, same with Simon's, it falls into Simon's bracket. Information for preparation, because he went to that car park, ice on closed, he couldn't get out. Same with when you go in somewhere, if they tell you exactly what's going to happen for those people that have sensory issues with lights or noise, we can kind of work with them so it doesn't affect people who are autistic.
When I went to Winter Wonderland a few years ago in Hyde Park, it was possibly one of the worst experiences me and Kate had, just because it wasn't the sensory issues at the time, by any means whatsoever. It was more, I was in my scooter and it was just so overcrowded that we couldn't get through. And we got in and we immediately wanted to leave and we couldn't find the exit because it was like a one-way system. And it took us about 40 minutes to get out. And I was running people over. I knocked hot drinks on people by mistake. You know, I just couldn't move for love nor money because people were looking up at all the lights. What's going on? Not looking at the little man down here. And the amount of kids and people that just walked into me was phenomenal within, you know, 40 minutes. I mean, 20 people must have ran into me easily within that time. And you're apologizing, you try to get through and so on and so forth. But I would love to go back to Winter Wonderland and experience it, but I would never go back. Because you've got 100,000 people in Hyde Park in a space that isn't that large, and the capacity of going around there in a scooter or wheelchair is just mind-boggling.
Again, didn't think about the disabled community. It's all about how many can we cram into that small space, taking as much money. That's not Christmas, is it? It's just kind of like, stick everybody in. Give us your money. Hope you make it out alive.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, ridiculous.
Carol on television and hope that everyone isn't a Scrooge. But
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it sounds more like the Squid Games than
it does, doesn't it?
You will die.
Just on a different matter, there is a place if anybody's watching from the Midlands, and that was Trentham Gardens. Outside, and you walk around the gardens, and they put on this huge Christmas display with all these lights and everything, really, really calming as well. My son thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll put up a few pictures so people can see. Oh,
yeah. That's great to hear. I like hearing stuff like that. There are places doing it.
It was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. I don't think the pictures can really do it a lot of justice, but it was just amazing. My boy was walking around, and honestly, his mouth was open the entire time. All the stuff that was going around, it was so beautiful and calming. And it lasts for about an hour and a half walking around the whole of Trentham Gardens. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Thoroughly recommend.
Speaking of Christmas news, gentlemen, I am the head of entertainment at Shea Pearson Christmas. I got games coming out the wazoo to the point where we run out. Everything else I was like super rulesy and also not very festive. Can I make my family sit down and play Zombicide and all the expansions at Christmas? No. A, because it's quite a hard game, and B, they won't get it. It'll be like teaching the cat to wash. So, I reached out to Big Potato Games and asked them, innocently, for suggestions for things to play with my family at Christmas. They are board gaming noobs. And oh my word, did Big Potato deliver for the Pearson. Wait right there.
God, what did they send him? He's got freebies, hasn't he? He's used this as a platform to get freebies.
This is this is an advert that the three of us didn't know was going to happen.
It was. He's taken our 500,000 viewers and said, look, what can I... Oh, my God.
You watch him give a code for 15% off for anybody that... Well,
Aston Martin, I'm a big fan. I'd love to know what Aston Martins you recommend for my family.
Yeah. Tesla, I'd like a car. However,
but I can't charge it.
I can't hear your derisory comments about me pouring myself out, which I'm assuming is what you're saying. I know, but it's also good suggestions of games for people to get. It's still trying to order stuff off of the Zon, right?
He's got a side gig. He's cut us out, and he's taken a side gig.
I'm not having a side gig.
Right, can you show us the games then?
Can
you show me your bank account? I want to see what you
need. Like you. I'm glad I should kept your car. So we have Herd Mentality. You can't tell, but the box is slightly fluffy. And this is all about following the herd. So you get a question, like, which wild animal would be coolest to have as a pet? And you've all got to put the same thing, or you've got to be in the majority. And if you're in the majority, you get a point, and it's first to 10 points. However, if you're the odd man out, if you're the only person to write a different answer, you have to take the giant pink cow of doom. And if you have the giant, as long as you have the giant pink cow, you cannot win. So you've got to wait for someone else to take the giant pink cow. So it's a game of second guessing and how well do you know the people you're playing against. So Herd Mentality, great.
That point. Sounds like Adam didn't understand the rules and he's made them all up himself.
I'm just thinking that's destined to be a Christmas.
We've turned into the gadget show of board games.
This is Obama Llama. In this game, you've got to somehow get a llama directly to president or former president Barack. No, you don't. So this is a game about like rhyming. So all the either the clues will rhyme or the answers will rhyme. There's an element of rhyming to it. So for example, you would give a clue. A Labrador poodle crossbreed is enjoying some Japanese pasta.
I think a better idea would be Obama Llama is we draw a picture of a llama and we send it to him and see if we can get him to tweet it.
Okay. Well, I play this. I can say you're wrong. Not ruining my side hustle, you bastard.
You're ruining his advert. They're gonna ask for money.
This is snakes. I would explain the rules, but Simon's just gonna make his own ones anyway. Simon, how do we play snakes?
I can't even spell snakes. They've got three S's on the end.
Yeah, that's a pun. Snakes. Okay, there we are. That's that one fucking ruined.
They're going to charge him. He's going to get the invoice through.
All right, P is for pizza. Anyone got anything to say about P is for pizza?
The easy cheesy letter game.
So what's it? Is it literally like you've got a letter and you've got to think of something that begins with a letter, or what?
Yes, but you've got to get nine, so you make your own giant pizza slice. However, the higher up the slice you go, the harder you have to answer. So you can only put easy ones on the bottom row, medium or easy on the second row, and only hard ones can go at the top. Yeah.
So rather than P is for pizza, it's P is for pomegranate.
Yeah. Or this letter is for this thing. There are different letters in different categories, and just like a giant pile of cards.
Adam, how many more games did this company give you?
We got Scrawl, which is Telestrations but with swearing.
Why is he drawing a penis?
They're drawing a penis. It looks like my Christmas top from earlier.
They are drawing a penis. Like I say, Telestration but with swearing.
Terrible drawing.
Simon, don't do it. He's going to get his dick out of me. Don't do it.
I thought he had. It's on his shoulders, isn't it?
and then we have Mopping Time. I played this game. I still don't understand it, but I know I enjoyed it. So let's have the silly news story of the week, Mr. Chris Lee Smith.
Okay, keeping with the Christmas theme, a British man was arrested after neighbours complained about a penis-themed Xmas lights hanging outside his house in Blackpool. He formed a phallus, a bell, and the word end. When refusing to take it down, he was arrested. It has been quite as much Christmas-themed as this episode's been. It's been quite phallus-themed as well. All started from Simon's Christmas skin-tight painted on top at the start, wasn't it?
No idea what you mean. I look completely normal.
You did. It was.
I'm having a medieval Christmas.
I blame the darkness for all of this, because they had a bet with the Kaiser Chiefs as to who could be the first to write a Christmas song that had the word bell end in it. And the darkness won?
Of course they did.
And it's not even subtle either.
What I love is that I like things like that when they're a bit more subtle. There was a great one, and it was an accidental one that I loved. That wasn't Christmas, but it was like at one of the cathedrals. They've got like a stone wall with the three discs sort of carved in.
Mm.
When the sunlight comes through, they project a perfectly shaped penis and balls in the shadow.
They've got that on Westminster Bridge, haven't they? Yes, opposite Parliament.
Yeah. So fitting.
Did he actually take it down, do we know?
I think he probably did. He got arrested, so I don't think he went home and went, I'm definitely not taking this down now. I'm not sure.
You know what he should have done? Did he have the penis pointing to his neighbour who complained about it? Because then it would say, Bellend pointed towards him.
We'll put the story up. I think it was in Men's Health that I found this one. But the copper, he said, why can't you just have a normal Christmas decorations outside your house? And he basically said, well, I did, but it said see you next Tuesday, and they went and got away with it. But we'll put the story up. It was a good story.
Cock and ball story, that's what it is. It's a cock and ball story.
God.
Hey.
Yeah. Let him off.
After rounding off the last episode with the best joke he's ever made.
So, on behalf of all of us here at Grumpy Gits HQ, thank you for joining us this year. In fact, 2021's been a wild ride. We've gotten way more eyes on us than we ever imagined we would. And it's an honour and privilege coming into your homes, your screens, your devices, and talking to you and being a part of your lives. So, from myself, Adam Pearson, and from my other Grumpy Get friends, have an amazing Christmas, have a happy new year, and we'll see you in 2022. Take care. God bless.
Merry Christmas, everyone.